The words of the Old Testament are being fulfilled right before our eyes as we hear them, as we pray and chant them here before the holy altar in this holy sacrifice of the Mass. At the gradual, we heard something that we say very often in the Divine Office: one thing I have asked of the Lord, this will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. These words are spoken by Christ. And of course, today he is indeed dwelling in the house of his Father, God Almighty, along with the Holy Spirit, which of course is here in this holy temple of God. But as we celebrate this feast of the Most Holy Family, the Holy Family of Nazareth, as it is often called, we also see that he is in the house of the Lord. And so St. Luke tells us that which he got from the Blessed Virgin Mary. No other person was there who could tell him, except for she, when he was 12 years old. Of course, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Venerable Fulton Sheen, tells us, traditionally, a young Hebrew boy was taken through the ceremonies, what are nowadays known as the Bar Mitzvah, when he was 13 years old. But he said, but when it was revealed that when a young boy was born of a virgin who remained a virgin, he would be taken to the temple at 12 years old. And that is why St. Luke tells us this. It is not just some coincidence. He is the son of the Virgin Mary. And that means he is a son of God. So he is in his Father's house, the temple. And so they went to do the ceremonies of the law because they obeyed the laws of Israel till they were done. And of course, they would not be done till the resurrection and the ascension. But they obeyed them punctiliously. Oftentimes, we do not like to obey anything, but they obeyed. The Son of God obeyed. The Son of God obeyed Mary, his mother. The Son of God obeyed St. Joseph, who was not really his father, his custodian, his guardian. How can we refuse to obey? And so they did the ceremonies. They went in caravans, oftentimes the women in one caravan, the men in another, and sometimes others. Well, after they left Jerusalem, after the ceremonies were finished, they found at night, when they came together to camp, among the women, he was not. Among the men, he was not. So they're totally speechless. How could this be? How could this be that we have lost the Son of God Most High that has been commended unto our care? And so, without any further ado, remember, a whole day's travel. They took their bags. They didn't even have time to unpack. They took their bags and they went back to Jerusalem. And for 3 days and three nights, again, that number, the very blessed number that we see always in the scriptures, which of course alludes first of all to the Holy Trinity, but also so many other things. For 3 days and three nights, they searched for him. And then finally, on the third day, just as the resurrection, on the third day, they found him, the boy Jesus, sitting in the midst of the doctors and the scribes of the temple. And they were amazed, the doctors and the scribes, because of the questions and the answers that he gave them. They could not receive such answers or such questions from the most intelligent men of Israel. And yet this little boy, he was asking and questioning them and trying to find out the truth from them, which of course they realized something different was about. And so the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph come, and she says to him, "Son, why hast thou done this to us?" And since nobody else knew otherwise, she says, "Thy father and I have been searching for thee." They all thought Joseph was the father. He is the putative father, from the verb in Latin puto, putare, which means to think. So they all thought he was the father of Jesus. But we know very well, he was not. He was the custodian, the guardian of Jesus and Mary, but he was not the father of Jesus. So he doesn't answer the question, and oftentimes our Lord does not answer the questions as it is presented to them. He didn't explain everything out. They had to trust him and believe in him, just as we do. We ask God many things. He does not answer us right out. He answers us obliquely. And sometimes we do not understand, and we are upset. Sometimes some people even get mad at God, which is a good thing, but a bad thing. I remember a spiritual director of mine telling me, when I confessed that I was mad at God, he said, "Well, you must be in a very special class because the saints get mad at God." I said, "Oh, okay, thank you, Reverend Father." And so, I don't remember why, but there's many reasons. There are many things in my life for which I ask, "Lord, why art thou permitting this?" But he does, and we just accept. We agree and accept. And so, many of the saints have gotten upset at God. Saint Teresa of Avila, my countrywoman, when she had all kinds of things happen to her, she said, "Why do you allow so many bad things to happen to me?" And he said, "I only allow this of my friends." And then she retorted in a very Castilian way, "Well, then no wonder you don't have too many of them." So, you know, we are in a special class. But he tries us. So the Blessed Mother asked, and he did not reply. He said, "Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" Now, she had just called St. Joseph his father. That's what everybody heard. But that's not what he replied. "Don't you know I must be about my father's business?" Without any further explanation. And then St. Luke, from her, says, and then he returned with them to Nazareth, and he grew in every which way possible. And of course, he did not grow in wisdom per se, because he already was wisdom incarnate. But he advanced in wisdom, the wisdom that was his as a second person of the Trinity, was allowed to come out, to be visible, to be manifest. Of course, this is why this feast is also part of the whole cycle of the Epiphany. And age, his body did not stay a little baby in the portal at Bethlehem. He grew and grew and grew till he became old enough. And of course, we will celebrate the baptism of our Lord in the next few days. And it was at that time that we see the grown Jesus, 30 years old, commanding his cousin to baptize him, giving us the wonderful sacrament of baptism, which purifies us, cleanses us of our sins, especially the mortal sin of the original sin of Adam and Eve, and includes us in his family. And this feast is the feast of the Holy Family. In that sense, it is a feast of the Church. In that sense, it is the feast of you and I, and of this parish, and of all wonderful parishes that are trying to seek and do and carry out the will of God. So, we see that he grows, he proceeds, he progresses in wisdom and age and grace with God and man. And so we too need to imitate him, emulate him. We need to grow in wisdom and grace with God and man. And it is very important that we do this. But on this feast, we celebrate this great gift. And of course, the church is the first stop in a way, on this way, the Holy Family. The church is on earth, incarnate, the Holy Family. We always have Jesus, Mary, and Joseph with us. And we also have the Holy Family of heaven, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What more can we ask for? No one else has this. We have it in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the Holy Family of God, of which we are members. And we grow in His wisdom and grace if we allow Him to penetrate us and to work within us and without. And so He tells them, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And whenever God asks of us something that seems impossible or difficult or even ridiculous, we must not ask, "Why is this the case?" We must only say, "I too must be about my Father's business." And we must obey. Just as Jesus, Mary, and Joseph obeyed. And the Holy Fathers of the Church throughout the ages have spoken to us about this mystery. We don't have time, nor enough voice, to speak of it. But the love and the example, the patience and charity that was shown by the three persons of the Holy Family of Nazareth are so incredible and so astonishing that we must imitate them. And we must pray to them, "Grant us the same gift of thy love, of thy patience, of thy kindness, that others may see that God is with us, that others may see that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, the Son of Mary. And He is indeed the Lord of lords and King of kings, the Lord of the church. He is the head, the invisible head of the church." And so we must pray for all the visible heads of the church in this world, especially in these riotous and tumultuous times in which we live, when so much evil is prevalent. Every morning, every time I wake up with a pain or an ache or whatever, I say to Him, "Jesus, I offer Thee this in reparation for sins. I offer Thee this for the family, for the Holy Family, the Church. I offer Thee this that we may have a supreme pontiff that is traditional and strong and strict, that will bring the church back, will take it out of the filth in which it has been cast, will clean it up, and will restore it to its full glory. And so I invite you together with me to offer these petitions. Whenever you have anything that happens to you, whether it be physical or psychological or any other kind of discomfort or pain, we offer all up to God with Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And we give thanks to them that they have given us this wondrous example. Your families are supposed to be a wondrous example to the world and to those around you. Is it? Or is it just a place of tribulation and fights and arguments? You must be imitators of Christ and of the Blessed Mother and of Saint Joseph. May they be with you today and always, and may you truly be members of the mystical body of Christ, the Holy Family of Christ on earth, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.